remember how it was not coming. I came on early and then it didn't. You see that down there? That's telling me that we are recording. I promise.
Okay.
All right. Good afternoon and welcome to the July 11th, 2013 regular meeting of the Civil Service Commission. In attendance today are myself, Robert Killian, Secretary Chief Examiner Kate Brown, and Commissioners William Foster, Linda McMacken, Bruce Weiland, and our newest addition, Ed Alex. Also in attendance are Police Chief Matt Hamner, and representing all of the citizens of Rainbow Road, a lone representative of the public, Robert Dashiel. Very welcome to have you. Item number two, disclosures of any conflict of interest or important between meeting communications. During this time, we take the opportunity to disclose any conflicts of interest that we may have with anything, or if anybody has contacted us or we've had any discussions or long communications amongst ourselves or with members of the police department or the citizenry that may affect our dealings with the commission. But you can take this opportunity to kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself, and definitely welcome you aboard, and thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really happy to get some good help. I applied for the Planning Commission and this. There were two openings, and I'm really glad I got this. Just worked out that way. Let's see. I gave the city manager a great resume, and some of it probably was true, but I'll tell you what it said on that. I think it's all true. But I worked under civil service condition a number of years. I started with the LA County Sheriff's Department. I worked with them a year and a half. Then I transferred to the LA County District Attorney's Bureau of Investigation, which has the same rank structure, basically. But the top civil service rank there is captain. I clawed my way to that rank. I think it took about 10 years. But during that period of time, I'm trying to think what's relevant to this. I was on the board of directors for a few years of POPA, which is the Professional Peace Officers Association of LA County, and sort of the union rep in my department at that time. So a number of times about two or three times, really, because we had attorneys to handle personnel, matters, but sometimes I was asked to they could have whoever they wanted. Sometimes, a few times I was asked to represent my co-workers and problems they had with the civil service hearings. We didn't have a commission like that that heard things. They were kind of a big body up there in the county, because the county had like 70,000 employees. Mm-hmm. But we had hearing officers, they paid attorneys that sit in, and that was their job, basically, to hear these things. So I represented, then after I made captain, I made captain fairly soon. It was about 10 years. I could have made it maybe 8.5 years. I did well on test. I think I did better on test, frankly, sometimes than as a performer, but mentioned the rule of three. It came up with me once I actually died on the list once, because our chief, who I loved, really wanted to get some guys promoted that had been doing a hell of a job. They were lieutenants, so I had a shot at it, and were going to leave. But he wanted, they could get that pay if they spent a year in office, and so a couple got promoted like that. Chief kind of came and went with us, and like a lot of small cities, I hope it doesn't work out that way with you, but that's the way it tends to work just about everywhere else. And
how long have you been on the island, Ed?
I came in 2007. Well, actually 2009, I'm sorry. My wife died in 2007. It was a pivotal thing for me. I was running my own business then, and she died of cancer, and she was due to retire that year. She was a lawyer with the DA's office. So I kind of moped around with it. Then I bought a condo at South Beach Condos in March of 2009, and then last year I kept the condo. I'm renting it now, and I bought a single-family home on Brown Ave.
And why did you apply to the commission?
I just wanted something to meet some people. No particular.
So you don't have any agenda and you've got a background in law enforcement?
I don't even know many people here. It's frankly, this is a way to get them open.
Plug in.
So anyway, after I made captain, I also represented the department a couple of times at hearings on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, let's see, I worked on a LA County Commission, the Senior Citizens Commission. I did that for a year and a half. I got involved in local politics in the city of San Dimas as I started out in the community, and I wasn't very good at it, frankly, but I got elected to the council in 78, and then I was elected mayor for two terms from 80 and 82. And, I mean, each time I ran for election, I won by fewer votes. I told the city manager when he interviewed me, my last recollection, really in my last term, was running against the guy who fished this election, and reminded me of the way politics were when I moved here in 2007. And I remember I won the election by 7 votes. Mm-hmm. My opponent asked for a recount, and I picked up 3 more votes in the recount. Mm-hmm. The last thing I remember of that year, I tried to do a good job, just get out quietly, I still remember my opponent out in the city of the lawn, puking on the lawn. We had 25,000 people in that, but it was a much smaller, entirely different Bainbridge is really unique. So anyway, after I retired, my wife was still working with you, though. I served, during that period of time, I bought a home in Hermosa Beach. I served a year and a half on their planning commission, and then moved to Pacific Palisades. We were able to just take all of our money and buy a place there, and then had my own business by that time. I ran a boutique PI firm. I only did, I worked for some, mostly corporate work, white collar stuff, no divorce, so nothing that, I just didn't feel like doing it. I did okay in it. I guess that's why I'm living here, because I did make a few dollars doing that. And then I moved here in 2007, and we snowbird for a year and a half, and then I just realized I hated going back, like staying here, so I sold the place back there and used the money to, actually find a new place. So that's my experience. Oh, my education, night school, got a community college, 2-year degree, and then I got accepted to Pepperdine University at night and got a degree there, and then I got accepted to USC, and I got a master's at USC in public administration. And actually, during that period of time, I got a year and a half of law school, which really wasn't my bag of tea either. Figured I wasn't smart enough for that. So I went to Southwestern University for a year and a half. That's about it.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Ed. I appreciate it. Yeah. You'd be a great addition to our commission.
Well, it's like everything else, resumes, but I'll try to make a good job here. Thank you.
Thanks,
sir. Nice welcome. Appreciate you. The chairman called me and gave me really, I felt good about it. Nice being our secretary.
Yeah.
It's a good welcome.
Thank
I hope you. I can help.
I have nothing to report.
And I have nothing to report.
No, this is Bruce Weiland. No between meeting communications to report. And I don't think I have any conflicts, but I do want to disclose that Ed and I know each other from some prior work. I'm a real estate attorney, and I gave him some advice on some matter several years ago. It wasn't a big project, and I had nothing to do with him being selected to the commission, but I'm glad he's here. Welcome, Ed.
Yeah, that was April 2009, and it was advice and a letter. I think you did write a letter.
Yeah. Nothing to do with police matters.
Oh.
And Rob Killian, no conflicts of interest, no major between meeting communications. Ed and I spoke on the phone just to introduce each other and welcome him aboard. I received a couple of emails. One good of the order announcement came from the Islanders for Collaborative Policing. The representative asked that we announce that they're having a symposium on July 22nd from 3:30 to 4:30 regarding police interaction with the mental health community, and it's being hosted by the Paulsboro Police Department on that afternoon, and if anybody would like to attend. That's it. June 13th minutes approval. I reviewed them and I didn't find any issues. Anyone have any?
They look good to me.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the June 13th minutes?
I so move.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved unanimously. Public comment, Robert, would you like to make any public comments?
I'm on board, Chief.
All right.
Sir.
All right, great. Report by the Chief of Police.
Report where we stand. We're just looking at a new hire, as we all know. We've talked about that last time, and we're excited about that. Talked to the Detective Tovar and what he's working on as far as backgrounds and what we'll ask him to do when we make a recommendation. Excited about that. We are excited about getting another body, and I've kind of reviewed whether we want laterals or whether we want a new hire, and after having discussion with many members of the department, have just decided that we obviously go with the best candidate, and there really is no one that's more advantageous than the other. You know, because I tried to look at maybe cost savings if someone's been trained, and I think we discussed this last time, so I just fielded that idea out with the department and all the officers, and we have had good hires that are new and good hires that are laterals. So really using that as a factor, maybe as a plus for one and not for the other, is really, I don't think, advantageous for us to do that. We just need to look at each person objectively. So I kind of took that on my own to see, you know, maybe if historically we had had more success with laterals, then maybe, you know, may have a little more emphasis on that, or if we'd had more success with new hires. And it's really a 50-50, where they've had success with both and have no opinion that one is better than the other. So it's back to, you know, when at the drawing board, we look at them objectively, regardless of which area they're coming from. So.
And can you make sure that's in the minutes? Because that's something we've gone back and forth and back and forth, and this is the first time that I've heard a pretty definitive, neither one is best. And we really have struggled with that. And so I appreciate you going through your analysis and sharing that with us.
And I made sure I got that from the supervisors and the patrol officers, because we've got people in the department that have been here since the inception of Bainbridge Island Police Department, and in fact, officers that worked on the Winslow Police Department. So got their feedback, and then got feedback from the new hires and what they think of the recent hires that they've been surrounded with. And I think it's across the board, one is not more advantageous than the other. So at least from their perspectives. And I think that's good for this commission to know. Obviously we would like to know if what we're doing is what's best for the department, the city.
Absolutely.
Great. So. I don't know what else you'd like me to report on. I just figured we would do that kind of research. Is there any other questions the commission has for me as far as how we're doing or where we're at or what we're...
Or needs to hire some more people? Has that changed?
No. I will say that I've also looked, it's a good point to bring up, and I think we talked about this last time, where many of our officers are eligible for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So if at any point, but no one has... I only have one that has told me that he plans on retiring in the next 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, not in 36 months, at the end of 36
mm-hmm.
months. So he says he's on his own 3-year plan, let me know that. So that's something to think about for us to keep
mm-hmm.
in mind, that we've got someone who's an old veteran and who's a supervisor and lieutenant. So something for us to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess I throw out to you, since we're all new, what types of things would you like me to bring as I look at this and report by the Chief of Police? What kind of facts or figures or information would you like me to bring and share with the Commission? I'm sure there are things you probably wonder about with the Police Department, what's going on. I'm sure it is. So if there's things that maybe you can give me some direction on what you'd like me to bring, I'm more than happy to do that. So.
Well, one of the things that has been useful for me as we have been privileged to get reports from the police chief, is the different demands on the officers, because a lot of that is just new to me. I don't track that, and to understand the different component parts of the job in a very real way, I was so surprised to hear about all the car accidents I got. And I'm sure I would be equally surprised if you got into a discussion of drugs. And I think that the more we have a more complete image of what's required by a police officer, the more we can kind of craft our questions and all of that.
Maybe bring a monthly report of the number of runs and the types of calls for service and things like that.
I think that, you know, until we say we've learned enough, but we are just going into our second year, and there's so much information that I know I personally don't have about what the department does.
And maybe I will have that email to you prior to this meeting so you can have a chance to review that.
Mm-hmm.
We can disclose that in the minutes, that, you know, that's between meeting communications that you guys will receive from me, just a summary sheet of what's happened in the last, since the last meeting, basically the last 30 days. So you have a chance to kind of look at it, and then when you come into this meeting, you can say, hey, I looked at this and saw something that I might have a question. But that way you're not seeing it for the first time here.
Okay, that would be great.
The other information that I think we found interesting in the past was, and of course we would going forward, if there were some significant events or like up at the high school, we did an outreach or we did this kind of thing, we were over here, or if there was a recruiting effort, those kind of things.
Okay,
know.
Well, let me talk about that. You probably already know this, but two of the biggest events that this police department deals with every year is the Rotary Auction. Because of the huge influx of people,
mm-hmm.
and July 4th being the largest event. So I can talk about we have emergency operations plan put together for those two events. So I can talk about that for a quick minute if you'd like me to, because mm-hmm. I think as a commission it's important to understand what our most, the biggest function that we deal with in a year, and that's
mm-hmm.
the July 4th incident or event. We put a plan together, and the Chamber of Commerce, sponsors that and does that. But we have to put an operations plan together for emergencies, for lost kids, injuries, people falling, thefts that occur. We have a lot of people on the island that aren't from the island, so there's always that problem that you don't know the people that are here. And I hear that even at the parade day, people tell me this is the one day out of the year that we see so many people who just don't know who they are, where they are.
How many people were here?
Estimate between close to 30,000 people.
Wow.
Total. So
wow.
that's a lot of people.
Bodies.
And we have, for example, this year, I think we were short. I think the operations plan that had been in place for this, to me, was very inadequate.
Hmm.
But, you know, I'm going to temper that with what the island has wanted. And that's just my personal opinion. So I'm gathering information from Rex, the Chamber of Commerce director, and the officers that have put on this event before. But to me, especially when you have, beer gardens and things like that, you need extra security. You just do. It just goes with that territory. So next year, we're playing off a template to put together an operations plan to make sure that we're ready for that. This year went off without a hitch. So
mm-hmm.
when I say it's inadequate, we're lucky, because if something had gone bad, I think
mm-hmm.
we might be caught short. But nothing did, so it's all good. It went very well. No real issues.
No, it seemed to me that there's
deaths.
Because everyone's having a 4th of July all around,
mm-hmm.
It'd be hard to kind of bring in, or maybe not bring in extra. Maybe you wouldn't bring people extra if you needed more manpower or something like that.
Well, here's what we're going to do. This is what I plan on doing for next year, and they didn't do this year, and it had been done in the past. You cancel that day off. Don't get the day off. So I'm not talking about pulling in Port Orchard or Polesbo or
right.
anything like that.
In the same
what way. I'm talking about is don't grant vacation time. Don't grant a personal holiday. Well, I've got this going on. You know, police officers, we cancel that day off so they don't have the day off. So we have...
That's a, intelligent way to do it. That's the simplest way. Isn't
and
it?
You tell them a year in advance.
Sure.
July 4th next year, nobody gets off, so plan your vacations around that day. Now, obviously, if there's a death in an officer's family or something significant, we grant that day off. But we don't just grant, you know, oh, you want a week off, that's the week we take. We don't. So we ensure that we have more manpower. Now, as time gets closer, and if we see that there's going to be enough manpower, then we grant the time off, depending on that. But initially, what you do is you cancel that day off. That, to me, seems reasonable. So that's probably something, that type of thing. But that's management
yeah.
issues. That's not what you guys do with. But just
mm-hmm.
so you know, that's kind of how we look at it. And I think that, like I said, this year went off without a hitch, and which is exciting. And then July 3rd, obviously, we had officers working for the dance in the street and all that, and that went very well. So those were two events that, and we're planning National Night Out, which is a big event. We put flyers out. There's been releases on that, press releases on the National Night Out. So that's
what date is that?
August 6th. It's always the first Tuesday of August,
mm-hmm.
and that's this year. It's from 4 to 7 p.m., and it's at the Sakai Middle School.
I get such good attendance, doesn't it?
Yes, and something that you might want to think out, people may ask you why we changed the location, because several business owners have requested that of me, why it's not in the commons. Just can't fit it there. It's,
right.
The parking's not adequate for as many people as attend. That thing has grown year to year.
Right.
And with all the events and booths and dunk tanks and everything else,
wow.
it just doesn't fit. So it's going
to
be
that used to be just here in the mm-hmm. little farmer's market.
Yeah, and it's just not adequate for what we're getting. So, and that's a good thing. When
mm-hmm.
you know, we talk about that. As this type of community gets that kind of involvement, then we've got to have adequate space to do that so everyone's safe. So that's why it's changed. Because I had some business say, boy, it was a lot easier. It was right here at the Commons. I go, I agree, but then we'd have to keep a much smaller event. I think the whole purpose is the more people that get out and interact is what we want. So that's coming out. We're working Carla Officer Size is in charge of that. Carla Size, and she's doing a very good job of putting that together.
Good.
So we're excited for that. And that, of course, is a crime prevention event, so everyone knows.
Do you have anything you wanted to add? I just had a couple things for kind of future reports or something that I think would help us. Kind of everything that we do has to do with the future hiring and the testing process. So any kind of staffing projections, knowing that a lieutenant may retire in the future and kind of being able to look forward that, oh, okay, well, so-and-so is going to retire in X numbers, then we need to back up interviews by such and such. I believe Bruce brought up in past meetings the idea of possibly an incentive program. If you could somehow incentivize a potential retiree, either monetarily or extra vacation days or something, if you give us X number of bonus months in advance of when you may choose to retire, then it helps us being able to reduce that gap in staffing for you. And if there is, there's been talk on the council and beforehand of staffing a school resource officer with the school district or not, and if that would happen, then when we need potentially to be able to do hiring for a school resource officer position that could be covered under civil service. So as much lead time as possible of when any of those kind of changes in staffing may be happening or new hires may happen in the future. Just thinking about, I know you haven't, that there hasn't been a decision made on whether or not to staff the commander's position, even though the commander position itself is not covered under civil service. Lieutenants that may test and want to promote to that position are handled, and how that might be handled, because we have to protect the lieutenants being able to test for that higher position. But once they make commander, then they're not covered by civil service, so there's a kind of a gap in that coverage and how we handle that and being able to think through that ahead of time. And then I know yourself and the city manager are talking about revamping the use of reserves and how that may lead over into the use of temporary provisional officer usage, which we do cover under civil service. So those are the kind of things that I kind of always like to have an ear to. Anybody else?
Oh, and then, yeah.
Chief, I'm new here, and I know a little bit about, you know, your business, not a lot. How do you see, it'll help me if you could tell me how you see your relationship with this group and, you know, how, or, can you talk about that at all? Are you prepared
yeah.
to? It's for me, and it's fairly
this is my second time here, but the vision that I have between the Civil Service Commission and the chief is a very closely working relationship, because as the chairman points out, that if this commission doesn't know what's happening down the road with retirees, someone retiring or staffing needs or a new position created, they need to be behind that before that, before I come and say, hey, we're hiring a new officer for this. Well, now we're, 6 months or whatever the time frame is. So I see a very close relationship and making sure that we stay on the same page so that we don't get disconnected, or that, one side sees it one way and the other sees it the other way. I think we need to make sure that we, by the end of each meeting, that we're clear on goals and objectives, that we're on the same page, because we're going to be much more productive doing that. So that's how I see myself and with the commission, because they are an integral part in that whole process. So if it's not an open line of communication and a clear understanding of roles and responsibilities and communicating what the goals and objectives of each are, then we're not going to be very effective. So I see it as the Civil Service Commission as a huge, part or support or foundation of the hiring and process or complaint process or whatever else is the prerogative of this board to handle. So that's why I think Chairman brought up some good points, making sure that, I let them know where the department is. For example, this one lieutenant who came to me between this meeting and the last one told me, I'm putting myself on a 3-year plan, I'd like to be gone in 3 years. Now, those things can change, right? Health of a child, the health of a spouse may change. Oh, I got to stay for the insurance or whatever else. So that 3 years may turn into 10 more years. But it's nice to know that his plan is, as we get closer to the end of that 3 years, yes, I'm still going to do it. This is still going to happen. So I need to keep this commission abreast of that and on top of that, so that they, then let's start looking at a hiring process so we've got somebody in the works, just like we have now. And I think that's nice to have, so that you can pull the switch or flip the switch, and that be done very quickly. Because if we're not working in tandem or in together on it, there's going to be a disconnect, and there's going to be that empty time frame. And that's to my benefit, and I think to your benefit. I don't want to see us shorthanded and not have an officer fill a shift because I didn't tell you that this guy was going to retire, in 60 days. So that's how I see the roles. I guess the rest of you can tell me if you see it differently. But
that's great. Thank you.
One thing real quick, I think it's important to say that it generally in the city we don't get much notice when people are going to retire. So
isn't there a mandatory retirement age?
Nope. Not the state of Washington for law enforcement.
So we could have an officer that was 95?
There's no age. As long as he can perform his duties, mm-hmm. As long as
fit for duty. So I just, I like that. I think okay. It's an interesting
That's
conversation about incentive, because I think that would be helpful.
Yeah.
This process that we have of hiring for the civil service positions, as we know, is way more time consuming than if we were going to hire for a code compliance officer in the
right.
Planning department. So there is that, I think, additional need for these positions to try to come up with creative ways to fill those. But I just want to say, in general, it's not usual to get a lot of notice from people.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Then just a couple other things that I had written down, and you made mention of recruiting efforts, and I really appreciated your earlier comments of reaching out to the rest of the department and realizing that every candidate's unique, whether or not they're a lateral candidate, and how that may affect our recruiting efforts. And if in your dealings with other law enforcement agencies or organizations, if you find opportunities that it would be beneficial for someone on the commission or Kate to attend recruiting functions at a community college or at a police conference or something, and you may send a representative of the department to do that or one of us to help in those recruiting efforts, we'd love to be a part of that conversation as well. And then the other thing, it's my understanding that we have that one vacancy and you're currently trying to fill it with the existing background investigations, but I think we're pushing up against some eligibility list
yep.
certifications that we may need to extend depending on how quickly you may need to or how quickly you feel you might be able to fulfill that position and whether or not we need to have an extension on some of those certifications.
I think we discussed that, and I think we'd like to do that.
Okay. I was just bring that up
just
under
as
my...
a, yeah, under her. Right. So
no,
we'll,
but I
we'll
mean,
talk about that.
We, it doesn't really matter, only because I have all these lists here. So
okay. Yeah, we can, yep, kind of cross those over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
You know, you talk about recruiting. I don't know if I should mention this, but I will. Part of it has been, as we all know, and not to get into dredge up history, but there's been some a little bit of turmoil in the department the past year. We have lost some very good officers to other departments because of that. So when we talk about retention efforts, part of that is having stability and continuity and having a chief that's going to be here and have a vision that they're moving forward. These officers like to have a leader. And again, there's obviously we know, you know, there's been some history here the last, what, year and a half, and I'm not even aware of it all, but I know from these discussions I had about new hires, officers told me, oh, we lost Officer So-and-so to the Squamish because of what was going on here. We lost Officer So-and-so here. We had another one on the list. He took off the list because he saw what was going on. He didn't want to be part of this, whatever the turmoil was. So part of this, too, is bringing stability and continuity to this department. I think we're doing that now. I think that's hopefully that's what I bring and what this commission brings. So I would say part of the other responsibility is we bring that to this department as a group and will help our recruiting and our retention. That's an integral part. People don't want to be part of something that's in turmoil or in stress. I'll just say that, under stress. They don't want to go into that. They want to go into somewhere that's a well-oiled machine, you know, where they can operate and be a good officer and have a good career. So part of that, I think, as this process continues and we bring that and portray that image in reality and out front, I think that will increase our retention and recruiting abilities. Because no matter how well you paint a picture, if what's behind it's still what's behind it, they don't, you know what I mean? So.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, two things before we get into the handouts that I gave you. Rob and I had a conversation the other day. We were talking about how you approved the return to the eligible register at the last meeting. And we were wondering if we had to do anything, you know, have you guys sign a new certification. Mm-hmm. So I have that question, and then we also wanted to know whether or not I wanted to get some additional sort of legal guidance on the question about whether the job description should be open for public comment, which I kind of already heard that the answer to that is no, but I wanted to get a little more, this is why. So those are two questions I had intended to ask our legal counsel. And Sophia, who has advised the commission previously, was out of the country, and I plan to speak with our interim city attorney, Jim, yesterday, but did not get a chance. So I will follow up on both of those questions. I'll send you an email, and if we do need to do something in writing, we will do that. But the date of your decision still stands as June 13th, so I don't think that will be an issue, but whether we have to put something in writing, I'll get back to you. I just provided you with we can look at the new test scores first if you want for the entry-level applicants. We're up to 81 on the new test, so that's good. Just letting you know we don't have any new laterals who have taken the test since March 3rd.
So tell me, I've got four pieces of paper
okay,
here. What
so
am I looking at?
Entry-level applicants, new tests.
Okay.
So these are all of our applicants that are sort of waiting in the wings for an oral board when we get rid of, when we work our way through our current eligibility list.
Okay.
So that's good. That's a healthy number.
Also the scores, the top several people, particularly the top two people,
mm-hmm.
pretty impressive. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's good background
yes.
stock to,
yes.
to
mm-hmm.
utilize if we get there.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look, so the next thing we have is the master continuous eligibility list for the entry level. And if you look at the written scores, that of the people that we've interviewed in the past, it looks like 84.52 is the lowest written score that we have mm-hmm. included. So that's about 20 applicants on our current list that we would have to choose from as and when we get to that point. So for the eligibility list, we still have the same four people. Nothing's changed since the last meeting. The chief has, as of today, so this column, date certified by Secretary Chief Examiner, should have today's date. Those top three mm-hmm. people were certified to him. And this is where we look at the number two person. That person's eligibility expires on Saturday. And the number four person, who the chief is not currently considering, but could if something were to change at the top three, that person's score or eligibility also expires on Saturday. So we had talked earlier about whether the chief would like to request an extension.
Which could be 60 days, we decided.
Yeah, and I think, is that what you would prefer, 60 days? I think that's enough time.
Yeah.
Because in that period of time, you're going to go through the applicants, like you said, look at them all, and then you'll decide who you want to look at first. I don't know how many backgrounds the detectives can do it simultaneously. I think it's maybe one or two, just with their other work, right? So.
Why don't we just do 9 to be safe? That way we don't have to redo. We have to come back. Can we get a 30-day extension? Let's just do 90 days.
Yep.
That should be plenty of time.
Okay, so if
for
I
for both of those that are expiring on Saturday?
Yeah. If
or
we
do we certify a whole new list for everybody? Or
nope,
just those two?
Just those two. And if, let's just cite the rule.
Are any of those in background check mode now? The first
two.
One?
Number two could
number
be.
Number two. Is.
Mm-hmm. So the rule that we're looking at, duration. Okay. So the rule that we're talking about is 9.1.5, duration of eligible registers. Before the end of the one-year period on the eligibility register, the commission may extend the period of eligibility for up to one additional year for all applicants from that specific testing period who are available for employment. So that tells us that if we're going to do it for one, we'll do it for both.
Okay.
So that makes sense. So if we could have a motion using those ID numbers, those randomly generated ID numbers, that would be probably the best way to identify them.
Do I have a motion to extend for 90 days the certification of candidate number 2999 and 1201 for an additional 90 days?
So moved.
I second. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Okay, can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
These randomly generated numbers?
Yeah.
It looks like that we have two of the same numbers. There's the third one on the lateral list is the same number as the first one on the...
That's right. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, no, I know we passed them back, but...
Yeah.
But it says that he didn't pass...
Right. So that person tested as a lateral in March of 2012, and the oral score was not passing. So the rules say you're eligible to test her again 6 months from that date. So that person tested again and passed. And if you look at the fourth one from the bottom on the lateral list, you'll see that that person was removed from the lateral list for inability to be certified by the training commission.
Right.
And then the commission agreed to basically let him choose if he wanted to be added to the entry level list. So if he wanted to be considered as an entry-level applicant, he could do that, and he opted to do that. So that's why he moved from one to the other.
Okay.
I'm still seeing those numbers, so good catch, Bruce.
He was interviewed twice as a lateral.
So first he was interviewed as a lateral.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he was removed for material reasons.
No.
No?
He didn't pass the oral. So we're looking at the third line down on the lateral list and then the fourth line up on the lateral list. That's the same individual. and that is the same individual as the top ranking person on the entry level list. But I confused them.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
So his written score on the entry level list is 8714. Okay, and it's the same here.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. 87. Except it's 8325. Is that because he took the test again?
Is that the
right.
old score
mm-hmm.
that he retested it?
Right. He had to take the test again.
Okay. I'm just having a hard time digesting the sequence.
I know.
This was his first one?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
he was disqualified, didn't pass you off.
Mm-hmm.
He takes it again on the newbie list,
mm-hmm.
gets down here.
Mm-hmm.
He's transferred to the lateral, so these same exact scores are transferred over here.
I see. So
that's
here,
why you're seeing these same scores
here
moved
to here
over.
To here.
Right.
Right. Failed
okay.
This one passed, and these are the same scores you're seeing here. They were transferred.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So right. the reference to transfer did not pass orals, removed for material reasons. Okay. So the material reason reference, we said, okay, that was removal, but we said he could be reconsidered at this category.
The lines are not showing up very well. It's removed for inability to be certified by CJT.
Oh, I see.
1213.
I'm confused which is mm-hmm. above and what's below.
I know.
Okay.
Sorry. I'll do darker lines.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
He didn't qualify to be accepted as a lateral officer.
Right. Did a break in service.
Oh,
but it
okay.
was greater than 60.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I get it now.
But the candidate improved a written score and improved his oral score when
mm-hmm.
he retested as an entry candidate.
Right.
Well, he didn't retest as an entry. He tested as a lateral. So all of
both
his scores just transferred over to the entry.
Are we looking at 6915?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
We thought he would be a lateral.
Mm-hmm.
So then he was moved to new hire because as she said, CJTC said his record does not count as a lateral.
But he's been interviewed twice on
twice.
The board.
Twice. He shows up three times.
Right.
He shows
both
up three times.
Lateral.
He tested
mm-hmm.
twice. And the second score stayed the same for both lateral and new because he was transferred from the lateral list
mm-hmm.
to the new list.
So I suppose the question for us as a commission is that a procedure that we're comfortable with? Should this individual have taken the oral boards twice?
I think we already approved that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys did make that in executive session.
Okay.
We had a conversation about
so
the issues.
So we already had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But then
so
in the public meeting, we talked about giving that person the option
okay.
of moving over.
So it sounds like we've done everything procedurally we should.
And so you don't feel uncomfortable. Maybe you're expressing a little concern that if he didn't do well the first time, why would we let him test a second time?
Mm-hmm.
That is very common,
mm-hmm.
even on your larger departments. Sometimes
hmm.
people test three or four times because the oral interview process for law enforcement
mm-hmm.
at this curriculum is so different than an interview that you may do as a, you know,
okay.
hiring as an accountant mm-hmm. firm. And until they understand that process, we had some of our best candidates
mm-hmm.
come through that oral board and just miserably fail it because, for example, they serve 8 years in the Marines and they're used to a yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes
oh.
sir, no sir. So they go into these oral interviews. Do you have experience? Yes, sir. Explain that.
Yeah.
So
oh.
they don't get that. So, and you look at this guy's resume. You know, he's got a law degree and a PhD. You're like, oh my gosh! But because he'd
mm-hmm.
been integrated into that Marine setting or that military setting, he didn't realize that for hitting those anchors. Then you get the next person who's just talk, and you're like, when you're done, you're like, oh my gosh, we'd never want this. But they scored 9 on the interview. You're like, oh no, what do we do? We don't want this person. But you couldn't help because they scored that score. So. I just put your
no. I appreciate
your
that.
Worry. I could tell you a little concern. Just if you're worried, sometimes and those that don't do that well end up being your most exceptional officers.
Okay.
So there is not always, but there's.
Okay.
Don't be too concerned if they did well and they tried again. I would rather have someone who's persistent than
okay.
somebody that.
Yeah, if he tries again and does much better, he's fast learner.
Yeah, and that's the kind of guy you want because
yeah.
this is something you're gonna continuously learning. So those.
Okay.
So don't let that.
I think I appreciate that because 4 new panel members interviewed this candidate
mm-hmm.
all over again.
Right.
Vetted him
yeah.
as well. And probably in that 6-month period, he didn't just sit on our interview panel. He quite likely
oh, right.
sat on several other interview panels.
That's right.
He got
better at it
as well and get better and better every interview.
Just talked to people and had a mentor. Somebody said, hey, when you're doing that, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
People, I knew people that wanted to go on the police force. you need to sit down with me for a couple hours.
Right.
I'll be able to do much, much better.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. There isn't much more to say about that. As I said, you know, our goal here is to try to get rid of these lists, really. I mean, we're trying to work our way through these candidates so that we can get to these new ones.
Right.
Just no offense to the previous candidates, but, you know, with this new test, we're in this
zone
here where we have to do something. I mean, as we've talked about before, our options are just basically eliminate these lists and these people go away, and we don't really think that that's something we need to do because we have a vacancy. We want to try to fill it, but maybe after we fill the vacancy,
right,
if they've gone through several of the candidates, and you know, we can discuss that at a later date. But right now, I think we're okay with what we have to work with in terms of filling the vacancy. You know, we've got enough people to look at for the time being. So.
So there's no urgency to
do oral board.
Do oral right now. Okay.
Not really, because then we can't do anything with them.
Gotcha.
So
currently in process are three folks on the entry level list,
mm-hmm,
and one or two folks in the lateral list?
Two.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of those five applicants, are all of them in background at once, or they just can't do that much?
Mm-hmm. They'll do five at once.
Maybe two if possible. I don't know. I think usually they do one.
Are there five openings and these people?
I'm like one at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So you would you do backgrounds on, you'd only do backgrounds on the one you want, right? I mean, you wouldn't do all five anyway.
Yeah.
But you would do two at once for a single position?
Maybe, but I mean, if you look at the five and somebody clearly stands out, don't waste the time. Do the one.
Yeah.
If it works out, go with it.
Yeah.
If not, you go the next one, or the next one, work your way down. And then if you feel like, man, nobody just meets it, then you do wash the list,
mm-hmm,
and we start with the oral interviews.
So are you able to tell us which two of these four are not allowed to, we're not supposed to do that? Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that, but it might not. I'm just always very conscious about candidates maybe reviewing the recording and necessarily want to have someone feel.
Enough said.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So we're in pretty good shape.
Yes.
I think so.
I think so. I think we have enough to work with. So by we, I mean you.
So because we have five people, one of those should work out. We don't have anybody else on the horizon that's going to retire.
No, we don't have anybody else leaving.
Okay.
Now, if you want to give me five or six new officers, I'd love that. You've got a group.
You're performing the wrong.
I'm kidding.
Wrong body,
kidding. We would love to.
So it looks like we should be able to complete this and then go over to the new and with our additional experience. Work with the oral boards and still be timely with everything.
Yeah,
so that's,
and I think you'll have a list put together.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that by the time I'm ready in a position that we have another opening, you'll already have me a list together.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. I think we're in a very good.
Okay.
If something just happens, that was a clear clue. But I think so far we're good.
Well, that's nice, because when this board got started, didn't we have like three vacancies?
Yeah, and we had zero names. I mean, we worked so
hard.
How frantic
the first year was.
I know.
This was awfully.
Well, then maybe I can comment, but not too specifically, because I can tell you the last hires have worked out phenomenally.
Mm-hmm.
I get nothing but positive feedback.
Good.
Good things. So you can pat yourself on the back for those ones. I wasn't here for them, but everything I hear, they're a great addition to the department and been very, very valuable.
Oh, and just real quick on that same topic, is the swearing in next week?
Yes, it is.
For Officer Peffer, who was the most recent hire?
Yes.
At the council meeting next Wednesday, if anyone would like to attend, 7 o'clock.
Not a sergeant. Sorry. take that off the record.
But Kate and Chief, that's the type of information that's good to get in the report here.
Yeah.
You know, this is another kind of event that's happening.
Normally, they're sworn in sooner or, you know, closer to their hire date, but for whatever reason, I think it was the Equivalency Academy or something, they postponed it a little bit, so that will be good. That's all I have.
Okay, great. In regard to item number 7, subcommittee work discussion, we had a rules amendment committee with William and Bruce.
That's right. We've been very busy. not.
Got to admit that I have not done a
no,
thing.
No,
it's you took the lead last time, and I'm to take the lead this time.
Oh,
and
so you haven't done a thing.
Right, I haven't done a thing. It's not your fault.
It's my fault.
Martha's not.
Well, and it's not. We don't need to cast blame.
No.
It's not a big project.
Oh, this was the review for the because of the appeal issue.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm working with Kate to figure out what was that issue again.
Yeah,
and
there were a couple.
And we had some advice from our attorney about what things we might want to consider doing
mm-hmm.
with our rules,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to get a handle on that. Mm-hmm. And once I do, what I'll probably do, Bruce, is take a shot at tweaking it.
Absolutely.
And I'll send it to you. And you
okay. Yeah.
So you have been hard at work into the minutia of this, William. Very
I can,
good. Very
I can,
good.
I can talk a good story about it, yeah.
But
I haven't done any drafting yet.
Last year, Ed, we did some major revisions of our rules, scrambling to sort of bring them into conformance with the city code as well as remove some contradictions. And it's still, we still got 20% of the way to go probably. And so
yeah.
We had an appeal recently from a candidate who was denied and challenging the denial, and that procedure brought up some questions that we think we can address through some more rule amendments. So that's kind of where we're at on that subject.
I was only smiling because I thought two attorneys, if it had been two cops that hadn't done anything, we'd say, you take the blame.
No.
You guys say,
I'll get it next
you
month.
Take the lead this
yeah.
time. I love that.
The gentleman to my left.
Yeah.
The honorable.
And then my subcommittee work, I've been working on trying to improve the oral board interview panel. And I want to float an idea and get everybody's opinion on this. As I looked a year ago when we revamped our last oral board and we wrote those questions and we hashed out how we should score and what questions we should ask, I continually want to try to professionalize this
mm-hmm.
process. And I'm wondering what you would think about either subcontracting it out to PST or to a professional HR firm or trying to put somebody like Rich Mancuso on retainer or something to look at it from an objective third-party standpoint that they do this for hundreds of departments or they do it professionally for a wide variety of opinions, and then they can take the new job description and they can look at it and like, okay, well, in 10 questions, this is how the scoring format should be, and we can tie it to what you were talking about last month of you got to check these boxes in order to validate that giving that candidate a 7, you got to check all these boxes. And if you don't check those boxes, you can't give that candidate a 7. And trying to think objectively about how you write a test professionally versus me scratching my head in my office at home. And I think we have some good questions and some good basis there, but I would like to work on that scoring format and trying to dig a little bit deeper into the questions that are asked of a candidate in 45 minutes or an hour. Yeah, Bruce.
I think it's a good question. Before I give you my view on that, didn't we decide we wanted to get through the job profiling process before we did that, or am I getting myself turned backwards?
Yeah, I think we did.
To inform the question.
Yeah.
And I I'm not sure I know enough about this to say why it's easier to plug into the questions at that stage than
mm-hmm.
the job description stage. I'm not even sure I can identify the differences. But
I know.
And we may or may not run out of time.
Right.
Maybe
right.
better to get our
maybe you want to get started anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can analyze the scoring thing from a theoretical standpoint, and that's where I feel like our biggest question is. It's there's a concurrency you want to have between the key points of each question and the key traits that you're looking for.
Yep.
But the question of how we score in general is really separate from any one question.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're kind of a little bit at sea on that one. At least I feel that way. So.
And that's kind of, I'd like somebody that scores these professionally or develops a scoring format that is intuitive to a panel and can tie it to key traits. I would like to see how that's developed. And I think we had a little inkling of that with the Mancuso
mm-hmm.
format.
Yeah.
And I really like what Chief had to say last time of tying those
yep.
things. And I think we're always trying to get to being able I want to take some of that subjectivity away from the interview panel of like, I just didn't like the tie this guy wore, so I'm going to give him a 3. Well, how can you give him a 3 if he checked all these boxes? And we recorded the interview, and he hit all those points. You can't score him a 3.
Right. Well, in the whole, yeah, I mean, and the lack of sort of objectified boxes means that when we say, oh, by the way, anybody who score below a 7 on average is not going to move on, it brings the whole notion before, particularly from a citizen's standpoint, well, I don't want to kill this guy, so I'll make sure he gets a 7. And, you know, if we objectified it more, then the number would be generated by the results, not the other way around.
And maybe we get to a point where the panel doesn't actually give a 1 through 10 score. They check boxes, and we score it based on what they check. And they don't assign the score themselves. We score their sheets. They may get something like that.
Well, and I, you know, one of the things that I think all of us that have done interviewing, you know that there's intuition that comes forward. And so a couple of things that come to my mind. One, I don't want to give away our power. I'm all for getting educated and having people respond to what we're doing. And I also think that that intuitive gauge is an important thing that we don't want to lose. And so I appreciate everything you're saying. I kind of like the idea of people just checking boxes and then we do some, but that there should be some type of a narrative, that there should be some way so that if you have a response to somebody, they're saying all the right things, but their body language doesn't quite work or something just isn't right. I want to be able to capture that because I think that's really pretty important.
That may be able to benefit the chief and the background investigators if the panel members are able to jot down those narrative points in addition to their scoring of their sheet.
Like, I don't know why, but I just don't feel comfortable. Because that, yeah, so anyway, but those are all good thoughts. Because we do want to be as professional as possible, and we want to be able to work with people even that haven't been coached.
Well, I think getting some expert opinion is a great idea. Of course, we have no budget.
So you can always ask.
There's, two parts to this. One, I wanted to get your feelings on whether or not we should pursue that, and then see if we can task Kate to go talk to city manager or HR budget and say, well, is that out of the city's budget, or is it out of your development budget, you know. So I will let you guys hash that out afterwards.
Well, and what type of a number are we looking at?
I don't know. Yeah. I was going to suggest that I could contact John Walters from PST to see if he has any guidance. I could also send a message to the other secretary chief examiners and find out how they put theirs together, if they've used a consultant or something like that, and report back to you.
I think we need to know the scope of the project that we're asking someone to do before we start talking about budgeting.
I'd just love to hear what others...
Is it a $400 project or is it a $4,000 project?
Anytime something like this comes up, though, I always think we can't be the first about this.
Right.
So let's just see what other people do.
Yeah, that's
right.
So I can find that out and report back.
And you mentioned to me briefly about the access to the California Post question bank. Just talk about that a little bit, and that can also help guide.
Yeah, that was when we had the meeting with PST here. Some of the materials he provided, there were some links on there for questions and stuff. And so one of them was the California Post interview question bank. And so I emailed the person and said, am I able to access this even though I'm not in California? And the answer was yes, so that was good. Tried to sign a use and security agreement, so unfortunately I can't tell you anything about it. I'm just kidding. I haven't looked at it yet. I haven't even logged in or anything, but they'll let 2 people have access to the question bank. I assume it's going to be useful. I mean,
and are these questions that have been vetted in a particular way?
I'm assuming so. I don't have a lot of the details with me, but I just thought, well, that looks like an interesting tool that we could add to the mix. So I'll have a look and let you know if I think it's good, or I'm sure it will be, and we can work
maybe
that
maybe it'll
in
just look like our questions that we don't have. And then the issue is, what are the maybe they won't. Maybe they'll look better, and they'll have boxes.
Who knows?
Score them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just literally going to be questions.
Right.
But I will have a look and let you guys know for sure.
You know, last year we were frantically trying to process people as quick as we can. We were scribbling questions together before interviews. And now we have the luxury of doing this right. So I wholeheartedly, personally, endorse the notion of using this time to develop our expertise with outside help.
Right. Okay. Well, great. Well, that's I'm happy to hear that. Is there a consensus here that that's what we'd like to pursue? How do you feel, Ed?
If California Post is putting their vetted questions on it, you can't. It's pretty hard to find a better a source. And I don't know. I don't know. I've been burned by experts and paid consultants. And usually, I thought you hire those guys when you're in trouble and you want to blame it on something else. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll continue to pursue that, and then we can talk about developing that, and then reach out to PST, reach out to some other folks, and see what the scope of it is, how much work it would take.
Yep.
There may be some boilerplate stuff that we can adapt and see what we can develop there. And Chief, we would welcome your input. I know Kate had passed to you our current oral board questions, and any feedback at all you may have in the format, scoring methods, those anchor points that we relate to those kind of questions that would be valuable. We welcome that input.
I think while IPSB handled our hiring, we did it on an outside agency to, as far as developing the questions. And as you said, the check boxes, I refer to them as anchors, but they hit those anchors. What I was thinking, if I'm going to try to do this, I don't know if it's copyrighted material, but I'm going to call my old department and say, hey, just send me a sample that oral interview book, and then, you know, that'll just be another source that you can compare and contrast and see what you're looking at. Process and better educated. Like he said, Californians, you know, if they're doing a certain way, there's a reason. So it's probably the right way. So it's, I think for us just to look at, you know, one from the Midwest and one from California, look at it, they come up pretty close, then you know it's probably fairly accurate. Probably the best practices.
And free.
Now you can't beat that price. As long as it's not coming out of the police budget, I don't
know. Right. Of course.
Okay, I will work with you then. Okay. I'll report back to you specifically, you know, as a subcommittee.
Great.
Okay.
You know what's kind of interesting, just quickly looking through this, and there was a panel last November, and I'm looking at entry levels, and just to compare the panelists, there's three panelists, scores 1, 2, and 3, and then you can see that they're pretty, I mean, you know, they're pretty good. It's just interesting to look at because not everyone ranked the which even looks like they don't uniform in their consistent scoring or anything, but
no, we looked for that, didn't we? Rob and I talked about that too. And on the laterals, there's one person who got an 84 from one of the panelists and a 50 from the other. So that's a
well,
pretty
and
big
the one who's number one. The third panel, even though the second panelist, that was his highest score, was for that number one, but it's the lowest scoring of those there.
Yeah.
But by the other, by panelist number three.
Mm-hmm.
You know another way to fix that, don't you? One panel asks half the questions, the other panel asks the other half questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one panel for one applicant, that way you are able to norm those scores.
That's right.
So you don't have that panel asking all the questions to one applicant. Then you don't have that panel bias involved. That panel asks, you know, if you have three panels, then and 9 questions, each panel asks 3 questions, and they're equally weighted.
So
you've normed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No one gets that panel bias. There's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
After I guess the list is, we come up with a list. Do you get a shot at the people, or do you just told, hey, this guy's going to work for you?
No, I interview.
All right, so we create an eligible list, and then the chief can say, I need to hire someone, so we can then certify 3 probably the top three scores. Send them
so
on.
So you get the pick of the top three, just like a promotion.
Right. If there's a tie, last year we had a tie score, so that meant he got the top four. Then we had two vacancies, which means when there's an additional vacancy, you certify an additional name. So at one point, the chief last year had five names on one list because of the tie and the two vacancies. So.
I know I'm asking tough questions.
No.
That's kind of, well, no one's been here very long.
So. Our process is based on an oral exam that's given by a PST, the private consulting group.
Written.
And then an oral that is done here. And those scores are reflected on here, and then we pass them along. Well, his process is probably 10 times more exhausting than ours because there's background checks, and there's polygraphs, and there's reference checks.
Reference credit checks.
So by no means the fact that we send him three people means those three people are going to be acceptable.
Right. That's expensive when you send three and none of them are acceptable.
Yeah, right.
That, as a layperson, when I first heard what police departments go through to hire a candidate, it blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's more extensive than a lot of CEO searches for major corporations, I mean, in certain ways.
Well,
so
it is.
Did we have to do anything with our meeting schedule adjustment?
So that's what, item number eight. August meeting is currently scheduled for August 8th. And Kate let me know that she'll be out of town, and I have a tentative family camping trip at that same time. I don't think we have a lot of other pressing issues on our agenda right now. I'm just wondering if we could skip August, which I know we did last year as well, because it's kind of a doldrum time.
I think that's a great idea,
and
because we don't have...
Right, we don't have to put a panel together.
And so I think that, you know, August is a difficult month to get things done, so I think that's a great idea, Chair.
And we'll continue to work and use that extra month of time to go forth with our subcommittee work on developing or at least researching the scope.
So will William.
Yes. I'll be here in August. You guys take off. Have a good time.
I actually will be here. I've just been taking that day off. Sorry.
I'll be here.
So then do we need a formal motion to cancel?
I guess so. Might as well, yeah.
Can I get a
so moved.
Second.
All in favor of canceling the August 8th meeting?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. The Civil Service Commission will reconvene then on September 12th, our next regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Real quick, because we're meeting fairly close to this, the Foster Pepper Annual Civil Service Conference is September 30th and October 1st in Yakima.
Yeah.
I will be going this year, so if anybody else is interested, I'll forward you guys the information like I think I did last year, but I do plan to attend. So
September 30th and October
1st.
Is there a cost?
Yes.
Do we absorb it ourselves?
No, the city would pay for it.
A vacation in Yakima
then
paid by the city.
Yeah.
So we'll all have to think
I'll
about that.
I'll probably go.
Okay.
We've got plenty of time. That's good.
Okay.
I'll talk to you.
Great. All right.
One last thing before you adjourn. Just July 24th, 7 p.m., is Officer Pepper's swearing in here at the council chambers.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Can I ask one question? Just wanted to remind everybody that I and I think one other person are going off the board.
That's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you think.
No,
that's what we believe, yes.
I thought it was...
Stay tuned.
Okay.
I thought I was the guy that...
Nope. I know, I got that wrong. No, the council is considering having all the committee and commission appointments happen at a certain time in the year, and so they are considering whether or not people whose terms end at the end of this year might be persuaded to stay on until next June.
Well, we expected they might try that.
You're going to be involuntarily volunteered.
I don't think the Constitution allows that.
That's right.
Counselor, thank you.
All right.
Well, we can talk about it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We stand adjourned.